Welcome to the 2023 Virtual Region Convention. The topic of this workshop is Steps 8, 9, and 10, Self-Discipline, Love, and Perseverance. The speakers are Karen and Mary Grace. The format for this workshop will allow each speaker up to 15 minutes, and then the floor will be open for 15 minutes of Q&A. Our first speaker is Karen. Karen, please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. My name is Karen. I'm a compulsive overeater. And grateful to be here talking about steps 8, 9, and 10. So I made a couple of notes about this, so we'll see if I stick to them. But one of the things that I like to do is to use this. I got this back a long time ago, but this is OA-approved literature. And this is the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, a kid's view. Talk about keeping it simple. So step 8, which we know as made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. In the kids' version, we wrote down the names of people we had hurt and we felt ready to say we were sorry. So just to qualify a little bit, I came into Overeaters Anonymous in 1989. I was 60 pounds heavier than I am now. I only came to lose weight. I didn't come for a spiritual awakening. Like, who needed that? The rest of my life seemed fine, I thought. But, you know, as the longer I was here, I realized that wasn't true. And the thing is, if I could have lost weight and kept it off, I wouldn't have had to come to Overeaters Anonymous. Even in my first year and a half here, I lost all the weight by doing what I call the OA waltz, you know, steps 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, because the rest of the steps didn't really apply to me, but I couldn't stay abstinent without working the steps. And so in 1991, September 13th, which was a Friday, I put the food down. I surrendered to the program. I started using my sponsor that I had in name only. And I got abstinent. So that was 31 and a half years ago that I've been abstinent one day at a time. And the thing was step 8, you know, I mean, basically I'm making a list, and the list I get from my step 4, that's another step I didn't want to do. I remember my first step 4, I was not abstinent. I got the perfect pen and the perfect paper, and I sent my kids to the babysitter, and then I had all these binge foods around me on my kitchen table with a Diet Coke, and I was writing the step 4 on my father. Well, I mean, I couldn't see the truth because of the food, so I don't recommend it. And, you know, as it turns out, my father and I were a lot alike. So I kept blaming him for everything, but in actual fact, I have to look at me and what I can change about me. So I had to obviously redo all that work. And so I became, because I was in enough pain, I became willing to move forward with the steps. So in 1991, I put the food down, and I spent a year on like building that firm foundation in with my higher power through steps 1, 2, and 3. And then I make a decision in step 3 to work the rest of the steps. If I'm not working on step 4, I haven't done step 3 because there's not a decision to do anything. And so I kept taking action. And then in step 8, I made the list. And really, I made three. Back then, we just said make three lists. Yes, I'm willing to make amends to these people. My second list was maybe. And my third list was no way am I ever going to be willing to make amends to these people. And then, you know, it talks about that in our OA 12 and 12, because these are the relationship steps. So we're getting right with the people in our lives. It says here, we usually found that our defective ways of dealing with others were a source of pain for us. Clearly, if we were going to remain abstinent and find serenity, we had to learn better ways of dealing with other people, ways that would bring us joy instead of pain. Step 8 is designed to help us with this process. We look at our relationships for the purpose of discovering those patterns that have done harm to us and others. So really, it's about forgiveness. I need to forgive the people that I'm making the amends to. And so I get to that place of forgiveness through prayer and through writing. I often write Dear God letters. And just because my higher power is God, as I understand him, I choose to call my higher power God. I do not belong to any kind of religion. It's definitely a spiritual process for me. But to make that amends, I had to do the writing and the prayers to get to that point. And there's a line in the big book that says, if we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol, in our case, food. And it also says, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. So and whenever there's fear involved, I just have to keep going back to my step 3 commitment, turning my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him. So then when I move into step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except to when to do so would injure them or others. The kids version, step 9, we told these people that we were sorry, unless it would hurt them or others. We tried to make up for what we had done. So so making amends means that something has to change. Right? If nothing changes, nothing changes. Something had to change, and that was me and my attitudes. And so, you know, the big book gives us a lot of directions on step nine. It tells us what type of amends to make, when to make it wherever possible, when not to make it, you know, when someone else would be hurt. And so we're clearing away the guilt and ill will so that we can establish better relationships with the people whom our lives have touched. I'm going quickly because 15 minutes goes by quick. And I talk quickly. I come from a family of auctioneers. So I come by this honestly. Anyway, so they talk about direct amends in the big book, financial amends, indirect amends, criminal offenses, domestic troubles. When I was young, used to steal money and steal food. And I made most of those amends. One of them I had forgotten about, like it was buried. And it was an employer. I was stealing money from the petty cash. This was like in the late 80s, before I came to OA. And I was using the money to buy food. Like, what else would I buy? And I remembered this quite a few years afterwards. And I thought, well, how am I going to find this person? But with social media, you can find people. And so I was willing to make the amends. I discussed it completely with my sponsor. We kind of talked through how this would go. And then I found the person and I called her and I made the amends. She didn't know. She didn't barely even remember me. But she appreciated what I was doing. And we agreed that I would make a contribution to a charity of my choice. I have to tell you, when I hung up the phone, oh my God, I just cried. Like it was this weight just released. The power of the program. I had another one to make when I was young. I was a girl guide. I was stealing money from an old age home where I was doing volunteer work. I was stealing food and money. And years later, I went back to make an amends. And the director of the retirement home asked me, but I went in, I made the amends, and he said, you know, this is interesting because he was doing volunteer work for a halfway house and he was taking people to AA. And it was kind of like he could see the program working. So it's funny how step 9 amends could also be 12-step work because somebody else was sort of witnessing that. Anyway, so, and the other thing with the men's is the outcome has to be in God's hands. I'm not in charge. I don't know if the relationships will get repaired. I don't know how the other person will take it. I got to do my part and trust the process. So, and also we make amends to ourselves. That's in our literature here. And I can't find anything right now, but, but, you know, the way I can make amends to myself is by staying abstinent, by continuing to work the steps, move forward in recovery, not backwards towards relapse. And then, of course, there's the living amends, you know, people that I live with, like my husband. These amends almost are the hardest ones to do. The people, we hurt the people we love the most. And so I had to make an amends to my husband recently about something. So not easy to do. And when I witnessed someone else, someone had to make an amends to a committee that I was doing some service on recently, and I witnessed her doing that, and that inspired me. The humility and the honesty that it takes, right? So, I'm going to move on to step 10 then, because we're running out of time. And of course, we know the principles of these steps are self-discipline, love, and perseverance. And that's the great thing about step 10. We keep persevering. There's a line in the OA 12 and 12. One aspect of this program that keeps us here is the promise of permanent recovery from this baffling disease. Repetition is the only form of permanence that nature can achieve. If we are to experience permanent recovery from compulsive overeating, we'll have to repeat day after day the actions that have already brought us so much healing. So there's so many, you know, in step 9, we have the step 9 promises. We have lovely promises after step 10 as well. The kids' version of step 10 is every day we thought about how we acted and how we could improve. And that's what I do at night. I go through my day. You know, we have different checklists. We have in the green book, we have that chart, you know, the step 10 chart of what we can do at night. There's the spot check inventory. When I get restless, irritable, and discontent, out of sorts, I have to start walking that across the page. Okay, what's going on here? I actually just had this happen. I was at my mom's for 3 weeks out of town, and my brothers live there as well. And one day, the family was all over, and I snapped at my brother. Like, I was in fighting mode. So I went to bed that night knowing, okay, this doesn't sit right with me. So I ended up doing some writing. I talked to my sponsor, and the next day I made an amends to him. And he was kind of surprised. He really appreciated it. He hugged, like I hugged him, and he hugged me back. And that does not happen very often. We're not that close. I almost want to cry about that because it just, the power of the program. The power of the program. And so the rest of our visit, because that happened in the first week of 3, was great. Because I cleaned up my side of the street. I can't do anything about anybody else's side of the street, but I can do something about my side of the street. In step 10, they use the word continued in the big book quite a few times, at least 4. So we're going to continue doing this. And it said, and it's written right into the step that we're going to be wrong again, right? When we were wrong, not if ever we're wrong again, when we will be wrong again, and then promptly admitted it. And promptly means I need to deal with this now, or I'm just going to keep building resentments, and there'll be more and more and more. And then I'm in more danger of eating compulsively. So the sooner I admit it, the less harm it does to me and others. And then in step 10, we have the wonderful step 10 promises that are on the bottom of page 84. Yeah. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even food. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in food. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. I won't read them all, but this is what happens as long as I keep in fit spiritual condition. I have neutrality around food. I love the step 10 promises. I love step 9 promises. And they always say that, you know, it says here, these will materialize if we work for them. So there's something I need to do. If there's a condition there, it's not just going to happen. I have to do something. And then the step 10 code, love and tolerance of others is our code. It's what I try to live by. But none of us do this perfectly. We practice it one day at a time. And we get opportunities to practice it. And so, yeah, by working through the steps, I have a new attitude, towards food. Food is fuel for my body. My dad used to tease me that Karen only eats one meal a day. She starts in the morning when she gets up and she finishes when she goes to bed at night. Now, this was years ago. So clearly it was obvious that I was overeating. Now I eat three meals a day with a beginning and an end, like, to fuel my body. Anyway, I'm just super grateful to be here, to be of service. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the rest of the meeting. I will be quiet now.
Thank you so much, Karen, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. Our second speaker is going to be Mary Grace. So please, Mary Grace, go ahead.
Thank you so much, Chris, and thank you so much, Karen. I am Mary Grace, compulsive overeater. So my journey started many, many years ago, but I will say that I have 3 years and 7 months of continuous abstinence. I am maintaining a 90-pound weight release. The eighth step, the first book I'm going to reference, the first book I'm going to reference is the OA 12 and 12. And there's two sentences. Why do we make this list? It says on page 58, to forgive ourselves for past mistakes has been essential to our recovery. But the even more important for me is it says, as we make this list, however, we might mistakenly go to the other extreme and put on the list names that don't belong there. That's what I did. I felt like everyone I ever met in my life I had harmed. But when I got really honest with it, it was people that were important in my life. For example, my family. I come from a huge family. I have 14 brothers and sisters. They all belonged on the list. My parents belonged on the list. And there were others, an ex-husband. There were places probably that I stole from, et cetera, that belonged on the list. So my list wasn't as important as I thought I was. I think that's the point I'm going to make. Now the AA 12 and 12, which is where I'm going to go next, and that's because the big book has such a little bit about this step, that the AA 12 and 12 really just goes on a little bit deeper. And again, the word that jumps out at me is forgiveness. That's why we do the eighth step now and the ninth step. Now, why forgiveness? I don't know about you, but we certainly did not learn to forgive in our family. You know, that was not something that was taught to us. And so I had to learn that here in the 12th step. And of course, I'm going to lose my little paper, which is fine. Because then I went to the big book. And like I said, it was so short on the eighth step. So I'm not going to say too much more about making the list. I'm going to go back. No, I probably can't find my paper. Yes, there it is. Going to go back now to the ninth step. Now the ninth step in the big book again starts on page 77, which is what I'm going to reference. And there's a prayer on page 76. God, remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable. Can he now take them every one? And so we can kind of redo that to our own in our own language. And why do we do it? And I think our other speaker mentioned that we're trying to put our lives in order, but this is not an end to itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and to the people about us. And then there's a phrase about how to approach the man we hated. I'm not going to say I hated my ex-husband, but I wasn't too fond of him. And I love to tell the story because I'm originally from Detroit. The house was owned by his father. So I thought, well, this is where I can go. And I had a little note, you know, please call me, my phone number, whatever it said. And there I went up to the house with a sign that said, trespassers will be shot. And I left the note. I turned it over. That man called me. Like, it was on a Sunday morning. My ex-husband called me. And God gave me the word. See, amends can be so simple. I didn't have to go into a big, long diatribe. All I said was, I'm sorry if I did anything that hurt you. Boom. But that was not the real amends. The real amends came later. Because he was telling me how great his life was, how he had a wife, and blah, blah, you know. And this is the real amends. I kept my mouth shut because as he was talking, the thought went through my mind, but do you beat your wife? Okay? Because that's why I left. So the real amends was not what I said. It's what I didn't say. And I think that's important too. So the other part of the ninth step, let's see, self-restraint. Oh, I want to talk about the four G's. So years ago, from 1998 to 2008, I was in HOW, Overeaters Anonymous. I don't do HOW anymore. But I learned about the four G's, and it's a great way to do the tenth step. The four G's are good, glitch, goal, and gratitude. And so I look at my day. What did I do good today? Because it's not all about taking horrible, oh, I'm such a terrible person, mea culpa, mea culpa. But when I make a mistake, I like that word glitch. It's just a glitch. It's not a huge, big thing. And then the goal. What is my goal? My goal is not to maybe do that glitch again. And then the gratitude is the last G. So it's good, glitch, goal, and gratitude. Now, I will just tell you something that happened this week. I had to do a 10th step. I'm not going to say where, but I was a member of a group and I was called in. I think it could be a job, could be anything that people had complained about me. So there, I'm being kicked out of the group. I knew that there was a little friction between me and one of the members, but I never thought it was that bad. But I handled it well when I was being talked to. But of course, I felt terrible afterwards. The rest of the day, I just felt awful when it happened. But then the talking to was like a couple days later. But what got me was they never said what I did. So I don't even know what the glitch was, other than I wasn't communicating very well. And I have to tell you that based on my past, when I perceive that a male is being abusive, and it can be a very small thing, I now stand up for myself. I didn't used to do that. And I remember what I said to that man. I said, you know, I'd really appreciate you being kind to me. My friends don't talk to me that way. And you know what? I don't care now that I'm not in the group. You know, I'm finding it sort of laughable. But I'm so proud that because of the 12 steps and having done all this work, that I can stand up for myself. I don't have to have people walk all over me anymore. And I think that's important. So another thing that I use, and I've got tons of pages referenced from all these different books, it's something that I learned recently, and it's a way of doing a 10th step, which isn't really, it is, but it isn't. And it's sentences that start with, I love myself. So I'm going to read some things that I wrote. I was impatient when a co-host kept asking questions at a host meeting. It was a waste of time. I was resentful that so-and-so didn't raise their hands before they spoke. And then I wrote, I love myself for feeling impatient, but staying until my computer powered down. I love that I felt happy when my computer powered down and I was able to leave the meeting. I love that I didn't point out to others that they needed to raise their hands rather than jump in. This sounds so petty. I'm so embarrassed to be reading it. I love that I jumped in one time. In other words, I make the same mistakes. Loving myself is self-compassion. And I think the OA 12 and 12 has the most language about the 10th step. Page 88 is where it starts. A continuous look at our assets and liabilities and a real desire to learn and grow by this means. So that incident that I gave that happened this week, I want to grow, but I don't know how to grow if I don't know what I did. So I called the person who had to kick me out of the group back and said, I'd like to know what I said that offended someone. And if you're uncomfortable, you don't need to tell me. I haven't got a call back, so I may never know. So it's hard to change that behavior if I don't know what the behavior is. So 10th step, page 89. And we make a careful review of our progress since the last time. I did a very thorough 4-step on finances. I went to OA retreat. So it had to be before 1998. And I dissected, I got a book, it wasn't an OA book, but I'm just going to say it was about money and spirituality and women. So it fit in with our program. And, you know, part of the 10th step is looking at money and sex. A lot of times when I listen to people's 4-step, they leave out those two areas. So what I did is I dissected messages that I got as a child. Now, some of these messages nobody said to me. Nobody said girls aren't important and they don't have to have education. But my brothers went to private school and I didn't. Nobody said to me, well, maybe they did. I think it was that the society said you have to dress good and look good to meet a man, to marry, to take care of you. You know, that was a message. Another message was definitely from my mother when I moved out at 18, raising her hand. You better get married pretty damn soon. Also, that was another message. So all of it had to do with money, taking care of myself, et cetera. So when I dissected all of those messages and I changed them, I am important enough to get an education. I went back to school and I got my bachelor's degree at the age of 55. And I changed my career. I've had 3 careers. I was military, I was a legal secretary, and my last career was I was a teacher. So I didn't start being a teacher till I was 55 years old. And here's the tricky part about the money. Because now I was doing something that I love to do. I was making less money. Guess what? I have more money today than I ever had. So if I follow my heart, for my career, I will be taken care of by my higher power. And I have to tell you, I do have mental issues. I hate to say that. I have major depressive disorder and PTSD diagnosed by doctors. I don't take medication. So my behavior can sometimes be a little bit strange. I'm aware of this. So I've lost many jobs. But what's happened is when I lose the job, I don't get upset because I say, I work for my higher power. I don't work for whatever company it is or whatever school it is or whatever it is. I work for my higher power. And by the way, part of my story for those, because I've mentioned jobs, is when I was in the military, I gained weight. And I could not re-enlist. So I'm someone who lost a job because of their eating. You know, this is a serious disease. It affects our mental, our physical, our emotional, and our spiritual. But by working all of the steps, we can recover. And no matter what happens, get kicked out of a group, get fired from a job, I don't have to eat. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary Grace. Now we're going to have our question and answer section. First question, and I will direct this to both our speakers. Here is the question. Can you give me some ideas of what to do if confessing could cause you great harm? For instance, if reporting stealing, if they were to suggest they call the police to put you in jail.
Well, the thing that comes to mind is in the big book, reminding ourselves that we have decided to go to any lengths to find a spiritual experience. We ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must not shrink at anything. So, yeah, it's not an easy one, but I know when I had to do that one a few years ago, when I worked it through with my sponsor, because we were figuring, okay, so if you stole that money in 1988, if there was any interest, she could ask for a lot of money. So I had to be prepared to donate a lot of money. So I just kept close to my higher power and trusted the process, and it worked out fine. So, but I know every situation is different, but I would definitely stay close to my higher power.
Thank you, Karen. Mary Grace, do I need to repeat the question, or are you ready to speak to
it? I'm ready. I was speaking to one of the amends I made, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend this, but long ago, probably before I even went in the military, so that was 1974, I borrowed money from a finance company, and I never paid it back. So when I got into the 12-step programs, I had to pay that back. I sold my car and paid the money back. But I don't know that you have to go to that length. Another thing that I did is, this is so silly, but we stole a case of wine from this medical thing. We didn't really steal it. I said to the janitor, is there any of that wine left? And he brought it out. That was not my wine. I'm also alcoholic, in case you can't tell. But anyway, so I didn't know what to do. So years, I mean, it was years. It probably was within the last 10 years. I sent cash. I figured out how much I thought a case of wine cost. And I sent cash with a letter to the place. They were still in existence. And I thought, well, you know, the person that opens the envelope may not understand or may take the money, but that's not my problem. I made my side of the street clean. So I also told a sponsee this week, she had to return some money to a store, and they didn't want to take it back, and she insisted. So they just rang something up, and that's how she made her amends. So, you know, there's different ways. You pray, talk to your sponsor, and God takes care of us. Thank you.
Okay, second question. How do I make amends if I can't fully let go of the resentment to someone?
So, in the big book, and I forget what page, I think it's changed, it says if you pray for the person for 2 weeks, you pray for everything that you would want for them, for yourself rather. You pray for their happiness, their well-being. If you do this for 2 weeks, the resentment apparently will be gone. I can tell you that in my case, there was one silly resentment that I had against a hairdresser. You see, I still have no hair. It took a lot more longer than 2 weeks, but when I see her now, I don't have that horrible feeling. So yes, sometimes we have to pray first. Thank you.
What Mary Grace said, it's on page 552, the resentment prayer. And for me also, it took longer than 2 weeks.
Thank you, Karen. Next question. What was the hardest amends you had to make And what changed in you?
I don't know. Probably my dad, who has passed away. So I'm glad I was able to do that one. I don't know. I just, that love and tolerance of others is our code comes to mind, and accepting people the way they are. And I developed a lot more kindness. Kindness is an important word for me. If we can't be kind to people in OA, where are we going to be kind? I like to be kind. I like to receive kindness. And, there's a line in that step 10 in the 8, 8, 12, and 12 about self-restraint. What does it say? Nothing pays off like restraint of tongue and pen. We must avoid quick-tempered criticism and furious, power-driven arguments. That's what changed. I don't have to do that anymore. So, my dad isn't here anymore, but even when I was around my mom this last 3 weeks that I stayed there, I had to really bite my tongue because I wanted to control or give advice or make suggestions. Restraint of tongue and pen.
Sure, I've had many hard ones. So I think the hardest was actually to my grown son. And the reason being that I chose very poorly in the man who was his father. And so I was a single parent pretty much from when I was 5 months pregnant. And so I felt somehow that, I felt like I deprived him of what a healthy relationship looks like. Because I was also, when he was ages 7 to 10, I was in a very unhealthy relationship. So as an adult, it was bothering me that because again, it's about forgiving ourselves. So when I talked to him about it, he was like, oh, it was no big deal to him. But I think even more importantly, that was a hard one, because even talking about it, my stomach is like, oh, is the people that I kept holding on to resentments for. So, for example, I'll just say my parents in particular. A lot of us did not come from happy, loving homes. But what I had to do is I had to look at what did this person do good in their lives? What was good? And with my father years ago, I ended up writing this poem, and but I'll tell you, with my mother, it was more difficult. Look for the good.
Thanks, Mary Grace.